Welcome to the AquariumMax audio show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics. This is episode 37, recorded November 1st, 2010. Greetings, everyone.
Hello, welcome back.
Yes, it's been a while. I'm going to stop saying that because it's always been a while. What's the point?
Life happens.
Okay.
So, let's continue for a little bit our discussion of tank disasters.
Tank disasters!
And what to do.
Yes.
When they happen.
Well, we talked about overfeeding, we talked about cracks, and we talked about heaters going overboard. There are several others. One you should watch for, and this is not as goofy as it sounds, but sometimes you should watch and see if the filter breaks down. I think we mentioned how it's nice to have more than one filter in the past, just in case, kind of the buddy system. But sometimes it's hard to tell that your filter's even gone out, depending on the type of filter. I mean, some of them make enough bubbles or enough noise or enough turbulence in the water that's easy to tell, but especially if you have to, it might be difficult to see that one has gone out. One thing you should watch for is when the power goes out, because sometimes that will cause the impeller to just sort of stop moving. If the power goes out and then comes back on.
Freeze up.
Yeah, the impeller freezes up, and all you need to do is get in there and jiggle it a bit or take it out and put it back in, and it'll start working again. But if you don't, you might have a motor.
After the power comes back on, of course.
Yeah, right. But the motor might sit there heating up and you not know about it at all until you go to check it, and then it might be too late. And that can be pretty bad. That happened to me once. The thing that tipped me off, and you should always check your filter, so it was bad of me not to, but after the power goes out, usually I run around and check all the impellers and make sure they're functioning. But this particular time I missed a tank, I guess, and wasn't tipped off for a little while. There were some plants in the tank, and you know, that does help somewhat, but I noticed that all the snails were avoiding about the bottom 2 inches of the tank. There was a clear line all the way around the tank. I may have mentioned this on a podcast before, but that clear line just like was the line of demarcation. Snails stayed above it, and just barely above it. And that could be a sign that there was some sort of stratification of chemical substances in the water. Maybe there wasn't enough dissolved oxygen below the line, or there was something like hydrogen sulfide below that line, but the snails were avoiding it like the plague. So were the fish, actually. So that tipped me off immediately that there was something wrong, and on close examination, you have to be very careful not to dump a big soup of scary stuff, toxic compounds back into your tank. So one thing to do is to perform, you know, a substantial water change, maybe 20%. Add some AmQuil, that's what I do. You know, I don't receive any money from AmQuil to say that, that's what I use to help reduce ammonia and nitrite and things like that. And you can monitor the tank for signs of stress, and if necessary you can perform another water change after 12 to 24 hours. Keep doing that until things are back to normal, and use the AmQuil as directed as well. There are probably other tank disasters. If you have a specific one you'd like us to talk about, please send a message. I mean, we've gone through quite a few over the years. Luckily, there are some we have not yet encountered and hope never to do so. But there you go.
Okay. I believe we have another product to review this week.
Indeed we do, and it relates to the baby celestial pearl danios, in fact. They have been growing. The 5 fry that I got, that was really exciting. They've been growing and now look like miniature replicas of the adults. In fact, they've looked like miniature replicas of adults since they've been about 5 weeks old, I think. That's when their coloration started showing up a little bit, and their shape was more like a little celestial pearl danio. They're still a lot smaller, of course, but they might be half an inch long and about maybe more than an eighth of an inch from the top of their body down from their dorsal area where the dorsal fin comes from their body until down where the anal fin comes to their body. They're probably, what would you say, 3/8 of an inch maybe? And about half an inch long, maybe something like that. So they do look like that, and they're back in with the adults. This is the interesting thing. They eat microworms, like anything, they love those. They love grindleworms, too. But getting them to eat dry food was a bit of a pain. And the adults are picky, at best, with dry food. They love grindleworms, and they'll eat microworms as well. They're not quite as fond of those. When I say microworms, I really should say Walter worms and nanoworms as well, because I eat those as well. But they're really not as fond of dry food. They'll eat a little bit of omega-1 powdered fine. They won't eat spectrum, new life spectrum grow for me. They'll spit it out, pretty much. So I've had some difficult times with
that. They're picky.
They seem to go with flake a little better than pellets, but not so much. And I was doing a bit of research, and on CelestialPearlDaniels.com, a lot of people use golden pearls. So I thought, wow, golden pearls, that's right near where I am. They're like an hour away. Why don't I, well, the company, Brine Shrimp Direct, at BrineShrimpDirect.com. Again, I don't get any money from them for saying this, but I happen to be within an hour's drive of the place. And I thought, well, it would be easy for me to get, I'd get it really fast if I ordered some, that would be an advantage. And so I ordered some and got some the very next day. And I ordered golden pearls, which were the 500 to 800 microns size. They come in various sizes. And then there was the, what was the other size? I think, was it 200 to 300, 100 to 200? Of a size that was quite a bit smaller. And golden pearls are touted as a live food replacement. They're supposed to nutritionally be comparable to newly hatched live brine shrimp and can replace them in aquaculture situations. And I thought, well, that sounds good. And I know the Daniels, the Celestial Pearl Daniels, are supposed to eat them, so I'll give them a go. So I got two different bottles. They also sent me a sample, which is pretty cool, some freeze-dried copepods, which the fish like as well. But I thought, well, the fish might eat these. They're kind of neutrally buoyant. They tend to float a lot more than float in the water column, not at the surface, and not sink straight to the bottom as a lot of other foods, which is good because Celestial Pearl Daniels like to eat in the middle of the water column. So I thought I'd try them out. The first couple of days, they were sort of, you know, they'd pick them up and spit them out, which is typical with a lot of new foods. So I just kept at it, didn't give them any grindle worms, which are their favorite, for a few days. And now they'll all eat them. They eat the golden pearls like crazy. They're pretty good at it. So I'm happy that they're doing that. I think it seems to be a good food. The fish are growing on it. The babies and the adults are eating it, and it's pretty cool.
Great. So if you did have a tank disaster that you wanted us to talk about, or you have a question about, or a funny story about, you could call us and we'll talk about it.
Or email us. Either
or email
one.
Us.
And I have a question. Thermometers. What experiences have you had with thermometers? I have had lots of different thermometers. Everything from the LCD stick-on ones, which I don't really like very much, to the glass-encased ones that I've had some scary experiences with, but that's mostly due to my own ridiculous luck on various occasions. But in general, that's the kind I like. Or the kind that has a probe that you stick into the tank and it has a digital readout on the outside. I've got one of those too. So
maybe
what do
next
you
time
think?
We'll find out more about your experiences with thermometers.
Yeah, look, tell us. You know, which one's most accurate? Which ones last the longest? Which ones you hate? How
Any
they've exploded
you
in your tank when you looked at them funny? Yeah, questions you have. Let's go for that. So we hope to hear from you soon about thermometers or anything else under the metal
aquarium light bulb
that you can possibly think about. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com.
For comments and or questions that may be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquarimax.com.